Podcast.
Hey, James, I love your energy today. You're hyped for the Bubbles Podcast.
Yeah, because we have a really, really good episode for today. We took a little hiatus, but trust me, it was worth it. We have a little special episode planned today. If you read the title, then I think you already know what's happening.
What's the title?
I don't know yet.
Because this is the intro. We don't know yet.
But we have a recording with Millen. You know, it was a really nice long talk. It's going to be quite a long episode. And we have quite a water lineup to do as well.
Some amazing waters on the show today. Several amazing waters you're not going to want to miss.
Yep, and one thing that we've never seen that I don't know if we even classify as water anymore.
Well, there's that, and then there's also a super special guest. So the thing that's not classified as a water, maybe we're going to try, is going to be this San Pellegrino Tonica,
which
I believe is pop.
Yeah, I think it's soda. I think it's soda.
What's the difference between soda and pop, James?
Nothing.
Just depends where you grew up, what area.
Just wanted to point this out. We're going to talk about it later with Millen. It says that it's distributed by Nestle Waters. Nestle owns everything. And, this is 100% soda. You know why? Because the second ingredient is sugar. And it's 50 calories.
Why don't you crack that open?
You want to crack it open
now? Let's crack it open on the intro.
All right. We have two special guests. One special guest has been here a couple times before. And it's always a great podcast episode when he's on. It's Millen Patel.
Yes.
And our second guest is someone who kind of got stumbled into our home. Oh, okay. His name is Boone. And he is a 6, maybe 7 week old bunny.
How do you know he's 6 or 7 weeks old, James?
I Googled it, see what 6 or 7 week old bunnies look like, and
that's it. So he's a baby bunny that showed up in our home injured.
He is a wild rabbit, and he was carried here by one of our dogs, our younger dog, but not smaller dog, Ziggy. And, he's been with us for, a whole day now. We're trying to nurture his leg back to health.
Because, so you've been taking care of his injured leg?
Yeah. We've been, putting Neosporin on it.
Yes.
Really trying to...
Did you feed him some Topo Chico?
No, he's too young. He's too young to have carbonated water.
What kind of water have you been giving him?
Just some tap water.
Tap water, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe some Borajami will help him get back into shape. With those extra minerals in it.
I doubt he'd want to have a very salty water.
Did you give him some carrots?
I tried to. He wasn't in the mood to eat.
Did you say, what's up, Doc?
I did not. No.
Did you give him some celery tops?
I did. He didn't want to eat it.
Didn't want those either?
No.
What about his poo? Has he been pooping?
Yeah, a little. It's okay.
In my experience, bunnies don't poop a little. They poop. Non-stop.
No, but it's I don't want to get into it on the podcast. I mean,
okay, yeah. Well, this is
maybe
good intro.
Let's not talk about rabbit poop on the intro to a podcast.
Let's stay in our lane here on the Bubbles Podcast. We're talking about water and bubbles, not bunny poop. But welcome Boone to the house for a little while until he's rehabbed, and then he's going back out into the mean streets of Irvine, California.
Yeah. So, I got a new bottle cap ring opener, or ring bottle cap opener, and, I'm gonna crack it open, or I'm gonna crack this, San Pellegrino Tonica, soda open. But, actually, before we do that, I wanna talk about this packaging. This is my probably one of my favorite packaging, how do I explain it? One of my favorite bottles on this podcast.
Are you going to save this bottle
for
your bottle collection?
For sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a beautiful bottle. It's tiny. It has an orange bottle cap with the classic San Pellegrino star on it. It's completely clear with San Pellegrino in its normal font on both the sides imprinted in the glass. And then on both sides it's Dal 1932 with the San Pellegrino star again. And it has this nice little engraved patterned emblem thing on it.
Hey, I'm thirsty. Crack that bottle cap.
All right. And it has a very nice striped pattern engraved into the bottle. I'm trying to get it open. This bottle cap opener is always a little tricky. There we go. All right. Some for you.
Thank you.
And some for me.
Well, cheers to having a great episode today.
Oh! Oh, God!
So, that's what tonic water tastes like.
I don't like it.
And there's a certain ingredient that makes it taste that way, and I'm trying to remember what it's called. I believe it's called quince.
It glows in the dark, which is, right?
It's a type of, yes, it does. It's a type of fruit or seed called quince that makes it that way. But it's often used in to mix with, like, vodka or gin to make cocktails. But, yeah, so that's what that tastes like. Ooh. So, without further ado, please welcome our very special guest, all the way from London, England.
Booney!
Well, Booney's on the show as well, but I want to introduce our water technologist and water sommelier, friend of the show, Milan Patel.
Hello.
Hi, James. Hi, Steve.
Milan, how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. How are you guys?
Doing well. Sorry about that technical difficulty. I'm not sure how that first link didn't work. We could hear you, but I think you couldn't hear us, and vice versa.
Oh, that's okay. We're connected now, so it's all good.
Super. How are things with you over in jolly old England?
Yeah, I think things are good in London. You know, we had the death of our prince, so, you know, things are a bit, how can you say, mourning, you know, but he lived a good life, a very vibrant life, and he did a lot of good, so it's positives, the way I like to see it, as, you know, he's left a lot. Duke of Edinburgh has left a lot for us and did a lot during his career. So, yeah, it's good. Otherwise, you know, living that COVID wave, being safe with the family and just, you know, attending to work items, etc.
There you go. Well, rest in peace, Prince Philip, 99. That's a pretty amazing run, and what a life. I remember as a child, early visits of him and the Queen to British Columbia, and it was a big deal when they would come to town, when they'd come visit Canada.
Yes, definitely. You know, their tours around the world have definitely left a positive impact. But hey, you know, you've got Harry and Meghan. How's that going over in LA?
I don't think it's going so well for any of them these days in the Royals, to tell you the truth, Milan. I just don't think it's going so well.
Well, all I can do is have a glass of Hilden water, as it's got the Queen's Royal Warrant stamped on it, and say cheers to them all, and good luck for the future.
How appropriate. And is that the water that you're enjoying this evening?
It's not, no, it's not Hilden. I'm enjoying Iskild from Denmark.
Well, we've had that nice one. It's very nice, that water.
Very good water.
Yep.
It is. It is a very nice water. And that's what I'm enjoying this evening before dinner, which is we're going to have homemade falafels. So looking forward to it.
Ooh, that sounds...
Some baba ganoush, some hummus. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
One of our favorites.
Speaking of...
Well, why don't you introduce the water that we're going to drink, James?
We're here with some Borjami. So this is a very... You know this water.
I do indeed.
I assume you... very, very unique water, to say the least. And a very high sodium content. And if I remember, it's quite peppery.
That's a good description.
We wanted to talk to you about identifying a nice water. So what you look for in a water, the taste, the mouthfeel, everything, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, do you want to start with Borjomi?
Sure.
Okay. So go ahead and pour. I really liked your description of that peppery taste. That's quite a good way to describe it, because it does have that peppery element to it. So in regards to the taste of water, it's quite complex, and each individual has a different senses of what they taste.
Yeah.
So,
well, cheers, Millie. Cheers, James.
Cheers. Let's
try this for John. First of all, smell it.
Mm. Very unique smell. It's a lot sweeter than the actual taste of the water.
Yeah.
It's not super carbonated, but it definitely pulls through with that flavor, because that's a very unique, extremely, I'm going to assume there's an extremely high, 23% of your daily allowance for this, half of this bottle.
For which? For what?
The Borjami.
What daily allowance of what?
Sodium.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just if you stick your nose in the glass and smell it, you can smell the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like the earth. It's delicious. It's really good.
It's a very, very good one. Strong.
Definitely a taste of Mother Nature. And if anyone ever says water does not have taste, I would strongly recommend trying some Borjomi. It will definitely give you a very vibrant taste profile with the carbonation. But it awakens you, this water, doesn't it? It really does sort of wake you up with the high level of minerals, I quite enjoy it after a quite long day, feeling a bit fatigued maybe. A nice Borjomi just gives you a big cuddle and just says, yep, everything's all right. You've got your minerals back in your body and you're feeling good.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, some of the notes that I try to look for and think about when I'm tasting a water are like smoothness, to see like how smooth it is.
Yeah.
If it's carbonation, like how abrasive the bubbles are,
yep.
Whether they're soft or bigger, kind of the minerality of the water, and whether it leaves like a bit of an acidic taste or a sweet taste aftertaste. Those are things that I look for. How about you, James?
I typically look for an earthiness in the water as well, along with that sweet or acidity, sweet taste or that acidity. And I always like to keep in mind with the acidity that non-natural carbonation, added carbonation can always give it an acidic taste. So if it's a water that has added carbonation, I try to factor out some of that acidity from the legitimate water, or from what I would imagine the legitimate water source tastes like, because that most likely comes from something like a soda stream or whatever they use to carbonate water in mass production value.
Yes.
Or just mass.
So I'd say Borjomi is one of these waters that is really the taste of Mother Nature, high loaded in minerals, a volcanic water from the Bakuriani Mountains, Georgia. Very solid round bubbles that really do tingle the mouth on the first sip. So it's very, very heavy in sodium, like you mentioned, which is a sodium hydrocarbonate, which is that natural sodium, chalky levels of calcium, gives it a slight milky sense. Magnesium is sweet, bitter. And sort of low levels of alkaline will give it also that metallic taste as well. So it's a very complex taste. But the key to this, I feel, is like trying to discover for yourself the taste of Borjomi is temperature. Mm. So I would always suggest maybe chilling it, because that's always, presumed as the nicest and most satisfying way to drink water. Having it chilled and then allowing the bottle just to gradually move up to room temperature, and then experiencing the water on those temperature increments. And you'll definitely find a complete different taste profile from cool to room temperature.
Thank you for pointing out the metallic taste. I didn't taste that before.
The chalkiness as well. Chalky and metallic were the two notes, Millen, that really hit me on that one for the Borjomi. And actually, in the past, when we've had Borjomi, I think we've either had it with ice or very cold.
Okay.
And today we've kind of let our bottle sit out for a little while. And it's even deeper in flavor.
I wouldn't say it's deeper in flavor. I'd say it's very different. I'm not getting much of a peppery taste anymore. But I'm getting a lot of salt, and that metallic taste is coming through quite a bit.
And then all of that is very good for you.
Millen, I had another kind of a topic or question / topic for you. And actually, it stems from I was looking at your social media, the Fine Liquids, and that you guys have offices in Heidelberg, which is a place that I've been. And really enjoyed touring around all the castles and stuff there along the river in Germany.
Yes. So that.
And then I got thinking. Go ahead.
Yep. Go on.
And then it got me thinking even more about, you know, the time that I've spent in Europe and in Greece as well as in Germany and all the great tiny little villages that, you know, have little springs and spring waters. And then that got me thinking even on a broader scale about all of these different natural springs that are so unique all around Europe. And I was wondering, and what I wanted to ask you about is how, like, some of these, like if you look at Borjomi, I mean, this has to be probably from like a small source somewhere in a mountain. How does some of these waters make it to like commercial sales, whereas others just remain in that one tiny little village out there somewhere?
Yeah, very good question. So firstly, Heidelberg is where Mr. Pat Eckhart, Mr. Fine Liquids lives. So the distribution of Fine Liquids is, the epicenter is in Heidelberg, and maybe on another podcast, we will get Pat on the show. He's a very cool guy, and we could have a conversation. In regards to the different springs, and sort of, there's so many springs out there. There is so many. And I would recommend, if you haven't, follow a guy called Dry Residue on Instagram. His Instagram handle is Dry Residue. His name is Mr. Steve Rowe. Every single...
Yes, I follow
you
him.
Do, yeah? Okay. It amazes me. I actually genuinely look forward to his posts because there's a new water, a source of bottled water that he's showing us. And it's... the amount of posts that he's done with all of these natural source waters, you know, I like to say he's got more flavors than Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola put together, or Baskin and Robbins. It's incredible. And each post that he puts up, I'm always like, wow, okay, I've just discovered a new water that I would like to try. So in that sense, there's plenty of waters out there. And for them to get onto the mainstream, I guess it takes a lot of marketing, because some owners of these springs don't want these waters to be mainstream. Also, access to the spring and getting the bottles out, i.e. distribution, road transportation, etc. Some of these springs are in very remote areas, so it all depends on the owners. Are they part of a big mass machine that just wants to churn bottled water out, or are they really looking after the catchment areas? And this is the distinguishing thing between the real genuine people behind bottled water and the ones that want to take this beautiful natural water and mass market it. So hopefully that sort of explains where we are with
that's really...
yeah, and
very well put, Millen. And then, you know, it also, you know, these springs, they're not infinite. I mean, a lot of them are very much sustainable, and those are the ones we want to, you know, the companies that are ethical to source and to distribute from. But a lot of them are small springs that just supply a small village or a small area, and the water might be great and, you know, commercially viable, but it would decimate the village if they took
That's
all the water
right.
out
and
of it.
In Germany, they must have over 1,000 natural springs in these towns and villages where the water naturally comes to the surface and locals can drink from it. And there's small little bottling plants as well that distribute the water around. A very good company is Radius 99. So there, it's a German water just outside of Frankfurt. And I really like the way they position their bottled water that they distribute within that 99 kilometer radius, which is quite cool. I really like that. And the spring was found underneath a car garage beside the house in a residential area. So that's got quite a cool backstory to it, which is quite nice. And I've sampled the water, and it is very, very nice.
Yeah, would you say it's like a very complex type of water?
I would say low to medium minerality water, which is kind of rare for that region of Germany. But it's got a nice, soft sweetness to it. And it's got like a very, very pleasant earthy tones at the back end of it, which is really good. And the bottle itself, the labeling with the types of blue hues that they use, very attractive.
And then, Milan, another question for you is, I'm wondering if you had any comment or thoughts on Nestle deciding to get rid of their at least their lower end water business and parse it out.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show that they are the devils of the bottled water industry. They've been churning out fake water, processed water, chicken nugget water, and the consumers have clocked on. But, you know, the consumers don't want this anymore. So now I take they're focusing on natural sourced waters. But they've demonstrated already that they don't care about the type of water and the source of water that they give to their customers. So for me, anything that they're behind, it just seems so negative. And dropping, you know, the lower priced waters, it just goes to show that the truth comes out.
Yeah, that's something that I don't like about Perrier, because that's what, like, a very, very good water brand, in my opinion. I know it's more of a mainstream one. You can pick it up for quite a low price, but that's part of it. It's a French spring water. The thing is, Nestle is behind it, so I always kind of feel guilty when I'm drinking it. But it's just so...
I just want to say regarding Nestle... You know, I know it's a multi-billion dollar corporation, and they've got a lot of very, very smart executives over there. And obviously they see the writing on the wall, the foreshadowing, the way that this is going from a social standpoint. And they figure they can get the most value out of it from selling it right now. Instead of, you know, like, if you think about electric vehicles and that whole transition away from fossil fuels, you don't want to be the last one to the party getting off of the fossil fuels, right? So they're trying to get ahead of it, which makes sense, but they're just going to, you know, they're protecting their brand and getting as much value as they can for it now. But the holding company or whoever just buys it's going to continue doing the same stuff. Nothing's going to change.
You know, there are other beautiful brands or sources of water in France that, you know, if you were to experience, say, like Chateau d'On, you'll be like, wow, this water is really good. And, you know, could it be my replacement of Perrier? But when Nestle's have a hold, the distribution, you know, the worldwide distribution of getting this onto the shelves at your local supermarket is outstanding. You know, I can find Perrier in low budget shops to high end shops because, you know, Nestle are able to get these waters in front of, you know, senior buyers at organizations to get these on the shelves at a very good price point as well.
Yeah, and, you know, and they've got wonderful brand recognition. You know, they're seen as premium brands, and they've put, you know, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars behind that for years and years. And that's a tough nut to crack for a small entry into the industry.
But I think, you know, the more that we have our conversations, we're always exploring new sources. And what the beauty of this is, you know, it's not water made in a factory. You're learning something new about a new region of the world where the water comes from, how the water is developed through the geological cycle, through the water cycle, you know, the taste of water now we're exploring. So I think this trend is really, really, like, people are taking note of it now. And the more conversations that we have like this and sharing podcasts and conversations about, you know, the way you grade waters, it's fun, it's interactive. And the amount of people that message just to say, hey, you know, I've learned something new, or I've got these waters which I've sampled with the family, and, you know, we've had a bit of a geography lesson, and, you know, we didn't realize that these waters come from these areas, and it's something new to learn. Well, something old, but something new.
Well, Milan, if you've got a couple more minutes, we have one more water here that we're going to sample, and we'd love to share our kind of tasting notes with you on it. This one, and maybe, James, do you want to introduce it? I've got the website up here as well. It's a unique water. It should be really interesting to taste. It's rainwater.
It is called Richard's Rainwater. It is the still variant, so I assume they have a sparkling variant as well. I very much like the packaging on it. It's raindrops with different...
It's in a can.
Yeah, it's in a can, and it's on the front of it, it's a kind of pattern of raindrops with different shades of blue on it, ranging from navy blue to a kind of electric blue.
We'll put a picture up on our Insta.
Yeah, and an aqua blue. It says here, it's Say Hello to the Water of Tomorrow. Caught clean, bottled fresh, local everywhere, 100% rain. We can change the way the world drinks water, drink the rain, save the planet. And then they have their Insta at Richard's Rainwater.
Yeah. So here on the website, clouds a bottle since 1998. 1994, Richard caught his first raindrop. Then he built tanks right outside of Austin, Texas, Tank Town. That is the birth water of Richard's Rainwater. 1998, he pioneered bottling rainwater. 2002, Richard's Rainwater Company becomes the first company in the nation to receive licensing to bottle and distribute rainwater. 2000, and then developing sparkling water. Since rainwater is free of minerals and additives, carbonation was a challenge. Richard developed his own recipe using ice cold temps and pressure and growing beyond tank. Rain is local. Interesting. Crack it open, James.
All right. Let's see here.
Have you tried lots of different rainwaters?
I've tried a few, and I would say there's one that's going to be quite exciting. It's called Cloud Juice from Tasmania. So nothing's official yet, but I think this is going to be something very special. But what I liked when you were reading out Richard's journey, he's really gone to town, because it's a fact where you have low TDS or low dissolved minerals in the water, it's very difficult for artificially infused carbonation to hold on to that water. Yeah, because it doesn't have the CO2 bubbles, doesn't have anything to hold on to easily. And you'll notice that, like, say, your Bojomi will have high TDS because the CO2, the carbon dioxide, can hold on to the minerals dissolved in the water. So it was just a nice fact that it sort of just let me know that this guy, Richard, he's a genuine guy. You know, everyone loves a bit of bubbles in their water, so you know, taking rainwater, low TDS water, he's actually demonstrated the pain of infusing the CO2 into it. So I think that was a nice, awesome comment.
It's a good ingenuity going on there. He's experimenting as an entrepreneur, trying to make, you know, he's got this great product, but he wants to put some bubbles in it. So yes, he's figured a way.
So that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Can I just,
what do you think of the water, Jim?
It's very, very earthy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You aren't getting that?
I don't know. I guess just because I just had Borajami, to me it tastes like very light.
Yeah, I get a very earthy taste to it, and then on top of that, I get a sweet aftertaste. So that's quite nice.
The sweetness definitely comes through for me too, and also silkiness.
Yeah, it's very, very smooth and silky. I'd like to say on the back, it doesn't say like or it like still mineral or still water or anything like that, or like it doesn't list off any TDS or anything. It just says contents rain.
So I guess the bottling for this, just from experience, it would be rainwater captured in stainless steel containers, pipework. Maybe then over to a settling tank of some sort. And then, depending on local regulations, at least UV, ultraviolet disinfection, which is a chemical-free disinfection. And then microbiological and chemical tests, I guess, for FDA approval in the States. And I guess that would be as much as it gets to in regards to making this as a bottled water product.
Yeah.
But,
spot on the process there for sure.
But it would be nice to know what the actual TDS would be. Would it be like, say, maybe 5 or 10 or maybe less? If you guys can get a TDS meter or a conductivity meter, pop one in. They're quite cheap on Amazon, but it will give you an indication of what the actual TDS is. I'd be interested to know.
Nice. Yeah, I think it might vary on location because it said it's local everywhere. I'm not sure if they're just sourced in Dripping Springs. That's where this bottle's come from, or where this can's come from, or if they have
James. We've been there.
Different locations.
We went camping there in Dripping Springs, Texas, just outside of Austin.
Really?
A state park called Pedernales Falls, where the water was pristine and beautiful.
We went multiple times.
Yes.
I remember that. Wow. Okay, so we were actually close to here quite a few years ago. That's nice.
There's actually a very famous vodka distillery there as well.
Ah, so would they be using Richard's Rainwater in the vodka distillery? Because that, again, needs quite low TDS water for that to happen.
Yeah, and actually on Richard's Rainwater website, he's got various systems here connected to different microbreweries.
Yeah, so that's the beauty of a low TDS water. You can use it even in cosmetics, microbreweries, distilling, because it doesn't have the heavy weight of the TDSs within the water. So there's... I know you guys love Icelandic glacial, but that water has actually been used by, I believe, a cosmetic company, Dior, using Icelandic glacial water within the end product. And I've been doing some consultancy work with another Norwegian water, Isbury, and the TDS is about 5. And that water can be used in fruit juice manufacturing and also cosmetics as a natural product. So instead of using like reverse osmosis and mechanically or filtering the water at the cosmetics factory or the food production factory, they can bring in natural sourced water with low TDS.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Certainly, I could see the value in that in food manufacturing. In my this as well, you know, we do a lot of lab testing and testing water and all of our products from raw materials all the way through to finished goods. And the less TDS you start with, the better your results come out.
Definitely. Majority of the time when it comes to facilities of production or water for the built environment, lower TDS water tends to help the process. Or if you're in an area for higher TDS, you know, if the water coming from the town's mains, then it needs some manipulation to remove the TDS, like softening or reverse osmosis. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
We have one more water here, James. What is it?
Northern Chill.
This is Northern Chill Water, and this is a new one. I got this on Amazon.com. Naturally alkaline mineral spring water with natural electrolytes. Ooh. America's water. Born True, Poland, Wisconsin. Naturally alkaline mineral spring water from deep inside an ancient glacier created aquifer, providing essential hydration for working, playing, and enjoying life. Skip the imports. The world's most satisfying water is an American original. If you won't settle for additives or hype, you're one of us. And this has some information on the back here regarding the makeup of the water. Natural electrolyte profile. Calcium 28, magnesium 13, chloride 7, sodium 2, potassium 1, TDS of 300. And the source, Langdale Spring, Polar, Wisconsin. Crack that open, James. Let's give this a go.
All right.
This is a still water.
Inside of a plastic bottle. It's a 1 liter plastic bottle. There we go. So this is a 7.8 pH, naturally alkaline water. So
taste it.
Oh wow, that's sweet. That's very sweet.
It's sweet. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a little one note.
It is. It's a
the
yeah.
Calcium was what 30 milligrams? Very... Did you say?
28 calcium at okay. 28,
and then the magnesium was
magnesium 13, chloride 7, sodium 2, potassium
I think
1.
That DS combination 300. Of that calcium and magnesium there may give it that sort of sense of sweetness, very, very subtle sweetness.
Yeah, it's sweet. I would like to try this one carbonated. I bet it would carbonate great with that TDS. Like you were saying earlier, Millen, the bubbles can stick to the minerals in there. I think this would be good. Maybe we should run some of this through our soda stream machine, James, a little
Maybe.
Later. Yeah, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
James, did you have any other topics for Millen?
No, not really. Did you?
How about you, Millen? Do you have anything, any other
yeah,
topics you wanted to
well,
touch on today?
One of your podcasts a couple of weeks back, and you guys headed out for Smash Burgers. Yeah, and like I try creating
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the London version, but I do miss that Cali vibe of Smash Burgers. And I just wanted to know, did you have Topo Chico with the Smash Burger? Oh man,
we sure did actually.
We
I'm
did.
So jealous
yeah.
right now. I'm just like, oh God, I just. A Topo Chico and a Smash Burger, I think that would just do it. I think that would just be heaven.
Well, the Topo Chico's on its way. The Smash Burger, you're on your
own. I've been making them at home, so how about this? When and thank you for the Topo Chico. I think that's absolutely awesome. It's like pen pals, but water pals, you know, sending each other waters. What
go.
I will do, I will make some homemade Smash Burgers and I will enjoy the Topo Chico and let's jump on another podcast and we'll invite Mr. Pat Eckert from Heidelberg also and let's have a good conversation about this.
That sounds great.
That sounds great. Definitely jazzed about that. So for the listeners out there, stay tuned for that in an upcoming episode. And Millen, want to say thank you very much for joining us again today. Really thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and all the topics that we were able to get into. Hope
yeah,
you have a wonderful
you.
Sunday
Steve
evening.
And James. And I'd just like to say again, you guys, the work that you guys are doing on these podcasts is super good. Like it really is, you know, from a water technologist, from a water sommelier, the flow, you flow like water on this podcast. So keep it up. I'm sure the audience loves it. Stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on hydrating that imagination, guys. Take care.
Thank
guys.
You.
Speak soon.
Cheers.
Bottle cap ratings.
Did you hear that bottle cap rating sting?
I did, and what a great interview with Millen. I
that
hope
was
everyone enjoyed
a great,
that.
Great, great interview. So we've got to rate the waters that we tried with him, and then we've also got to rate a couple new ones here. Or not new ones. They're one's a returner to the show. Another one's a new water alert. I don't know if it's worth putting that sting in for this one. I don't know if it deserves it.
Well, the first one, and James, I think you should add this. I know it's a plastic bottle, but I think you should add it to your collection because this is the 130th anniversary Borajami water.
Okay.
So we just talked about it with Millen. We've had it on the show before. Can I get your bottle cap rating, please, right now? Go.
My bottle cap rating out of 10 is going to be an 8 out of 10 for this water. Let me explain. Because it depends on the temperature. If it's a nice, chilled water, then it's delicious. Maybe a 9 out of 10, right? But 8 out of 10, you get this metallic taste that comes through that I kind of don't enjoy. And this chalky texture and like chalky taste, which it's okay, but it doesn't complement it very well. It's a very, very unique water. I'll give it that. It's nice and smooth. I like the carbonation level because it kind of fits. You know, it works well with how extreme the taste is. But, yeah, I've got to give this I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10 because it's just so unique. But it's not something that you could ever possibly drink to just hydrate yourself. It's something that you have to enjoy with a meal or just enjoy it.
Okay. Well, good rating, good description. I can appreciate that. James, I've been struggling with getting a lot of the imported and the complex spring waters these days. It's getting harder and harder to find them. They seem to be sold out. I don't know if that's because of our podcast and everyone's listening and starting to try these waters more and more and more. Maybe no. Who knows? But this, like Sokasani and some of the other ones I haven't been able to get, but this one's still really readily available and it's such a great complex water.
It is. I can't enjoy it quickly to hydrate it. It's more of an experience, you know?
Well, James, I'm just going to have to say today, Borajami is getting the perfect score. 10 out of 10 bottle caps.
From you?
From me.
Nice.
It's a great water. Get your hands on some Borajami. It's a good time.
All right.
The next one we tried was Richard's Reign.
All right. So, this water is... It's okay. It's one note, I think. Like, in my opinion. It's kind of one note. I don't know. It's just kind of... like, has a sweet aftertaste, and that's about it, you know? But it's smooth. And if you heard the entire interview part, then you'll know that you can use, like, low TDS waters like this for cosmetics and all that stuff like that. And I really like the packaging, so I'm going to bump this to a 6.5 out of 10, just for the sole fact that... It can be used for a lot of things, and the packaging is nice.
Well, I don't know if I'm just feeling generous today or what, James.
I think you are.
Because usually I'm pretty harsh on these waters. But I like Richard's story. I really liked how it resonated with Millen as well regarding how Richard was trying to carbonate the water with the low TDS. That was some new information for me. And the water's pretty good, you know, and it's in a can. You get a little bit of the metallic taste, I think, coming through on the aluminum. But I'm going to give Richard and his water 8 out of 10 bottle caps. What do you think about that?
Wow, that is a high rating compared to what I gave it.
Yep.
So what's our next water here?
So, and then the last one that we rated was the Northern Chill water.
Yeah. So, the Northern Chill water, this is a very earthy water. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Thing is, after the earthiness, you don't really get much. You get a sweet aftertaste, but that's about it. So, I still have that tonic taste in my mouth. But, the earthiness is still coming through for me. Sweetness, not as much. I think that's just because it's overpowered by the tonic. But Yeah, that's not okay water. I'm not a huge fan of the packaging, not a huge fan about everything else. It's kind of, I don't know. It just seems kind of boring, and I don't know if I'm being harsh today or something. But it's just not as unique as any of these other waters, and I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. I think that's a fair rating, James. I'm going to go 6 out of 10 as well. The branding is a little bit off. America's Water, Proud American Water, I get it. I mean, sure, made in the USA, go against the imports, but I'm just not sure if that branding is on point. You know what I mean? Like, maybe try to focus a little bit more on the water and the natural properties of it than that it's American. I don't
know. Yeah, just instead of like, yeah, America, we don't import anything. We make our own stuff, even if it's bad quality, you know?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't seem to be, like, on point for a water brand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not focusing enough on its actual product. It's focusing more on the American aspect of it, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. But the water's pretty good. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Naturally sourced from an aquifer, from a glacial aquifer. So that's good.
All right. So, you want to save Topo for last and get this over with?
Let's do it. Crack it open.
365 electrolyte water. Purified water with electrolytes for taste. This is going to be terrible.
Well, James, the source is pretty incredible on this one.
What?
It says it right on the back there. Why don't you read it?
I cannot find it.
Well, you're looking for it. Should I just say it?
Sure.
Municipal water.
Yay!
Here, I'll read it. It says, water source purified from local municipal source. Processed by reverse osmosis, UV light, filtration, and ozonization.
It's basically not water anymore.
Well,
restricted of its water qualities. Tell me when to stop.
Just give me a little. A little more. I'll drink it. I'm not scared of it. Okay, that's good. Thank you.
And I'm going to give myself a splash. Like a couple tablespoons of this water. That's terrible. So that is so bad.
Anyone that's buying this water is a fool. The water, at least, I mean, maybe if you're in an area that doesn't have tap water or good tap water. But, like, the tap water going through just a simple filter on our fridge here in Southern California is so much better than this water.
That sucks. It's so bad. Why is it so bad?
It's just terrible.
They stripped it of its water qualities and then gave it back fake ones. It's like if you take a perfectly normal working human being and you you just cut off an arm and a leg and then replaced it with an outdated prosthetic. No point. And it just ruins it.
How many bottle caps?
Two.
Come on, Whole Foods. Zero bottle caps.
Two bottle caps. It's not... I can't give it zero bottle caps because I can't compare it to smart water, the black smart water.
Somebody probably paid like $2 or $3 for this.
We did.
But that's in the name of research for the Bubbles podcast, James. That doesn't count. That's a tax deduction.
Hey, you know, there's probably been hundreds of or $10,000 or more spent on that black smart water. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
That's a sad truth.
Have we reached the point of the show where we get to try our favorite water?
I guess we have. It's nearing the end, but before we reach the end, we get to try some Topo Chico. Ugh. I always love a little Topo Chico, you know, just during the day, or, you know, before you're about to do something like a bike ride, some type of activity of that sort.
We're going on a bike ride to get your phone fixed. That's what we're going to do, yeah? That'll be fun.
Mmm.
Mmm.
Very, very good.
Mm. Yes. Just complex, peppery, nice amount of carbonation. The peppery. big bubbles and little bubbles. I'm getting a little peppery, a little bit coming through.
That might be from your tonic. Because I only, what I get from this is an acidity, a tiny, tiny bit of earthiness, and a lot of sweetness that comes through. The bubbles are very robust, and they vary in sizes. And that's what I get from this water. I very much like this water, and we already know it's great.
Well, James, 10 out of 10 for me, and I can't describe it any better than you just did. I mean, you may as well drop the mic on that one.
And I will. Goodbye. I'm just kidding. We gotta do our outro still.
So, if people want to get a hold of the show, James, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you could email us at thebubblespodcast@gmail.com.
Can you say that again slower?
At thebubblespodcast@gmail.com.
What about our Instagram handle?
Thebubblespodcast.
And do we have a TikTok?
We do. The Bubbles Podcast.
What's on our TikTok?
One video of a rap song named Topo Chico. And then it's just our logo.
And soon, today, there should be a TikTok on there with a special guest, Bunno.
Boonie. Not Bunno.
Okay. Boonie. Thank you for listening to the show. We would appreciate if you would like to continue to listen to the show, if you would do us a favor and rate and review us. We prefer 5 stars, but whatever you feel is appropriate, please go in and rate our podcast.
And just make sure to not wave goodbye to our podcast and stick around for that potentially 2 special guest episode that could be coming up soon.
Yes, and until next time.
I'm Steve.
And I'm James.
And this has been
Bubbles!